May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 864. Holy Ghost, inspire our praises, touch our hearts and tune our tongues. While we laud the name of Jesus, heaven will gladly share our songs. Hosts of angels, bright and glorious, while we hymn our common King, we'll be glad to join the chorus, and the Lord himself shall sing. Hymn 864.
Thank you. help us to read Psalm 34. The 34th Psalm. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life, and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil, and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil, and do good. Seek peace, and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate, margin, guilty. Amen. May the Lord bless to us his word and grant us prayer. O Lord, do grant us that blessing we've read of, the trust in the Lord. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. Help us each to trust in thee now concerning this service. Lord, we come and there is no other one we can rightly trust in. Lord, we come and we certainly do not deserve thy presence here tonight in a gracious, saving way. But we pray for it. And Lord, we do not deserve help, deliverance, a sign to thyself by faith. But we pray for it. And we pray for it in thy name, Lord, that name which is above every name, that one name given under heaven among men, whereby we must be saved. Oh, Lord, do, for thy name's sake, bless us. For thy name's sake, hear us. For thy name's sake, enable us to worship. We've nothing, Lord. For thy word says thou regard the prayer of the destitute and not despise their prayer. Oh, leave not my soul destitute. Bless thy word to us. Open it up to us. Reveal thyself through the lattice of the word. Turn, my beloved, and be there like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Betha, the mountains of division. Lord, pardon our sins. Lord, thou canst only pardon sin in thine own name. For Lord, thine own name is Redeemer, High Priest, Advocate, Saviour. Oh, forgive our sins. Oh, give us that broken heart and contrite spirit. We've read of it, Lord, tonight as a proof that thou art nigh. Draw nigh, Lord, and grant us that broken spirit and contrite heart. Lord, help us then. We thank thee for thy mercies, the mercies that have permitted us and enabled us to gather together. Above all, Lord, the mercy that thou art God, such a God, as doth make thyself known in such a way as doth bring sinners to be one with thee. Oh, we thank thee for thy everlasting covenant, thy dear Son, the mediator of that covenant. We thank thee, Lord, for thy appointment of thy Son. And Lord Jesus, that thou didst so willingly acquiesce in that and didst delight in the habitable part of the earth before that is come down into it in our nature. And Lord, that thou didst set thy face as a flint and didst go to Jerusalem, to that awful place that only thou couldst go to and come forth from. Oh, we pray, bless thy people tonight to worship this God by the blessed ministry of thy Holy Spirit, who we plead for. Oh, send thy Spirit down upon us. Speaker and hearer, fill me, Lord, with thy Holy Spirit. And fill thy people with thy Holy Spirit. Lord, cast out the unruly throng that frequent the place. Lord, turn out the legion. Do for us what thou didst for Mary Magdalene, and what thou didst for that Gadarene, and what thou dost for every one of thy people. Cast out the legion, and Lord, keep them out. Lord, preserve us from the re-entrance. Lord, if thy truth is left by thee in our heart, Lord, we cannot return to that place where we once were, where Satan held the throne. But, O Lord, we have indwelling sin. And we pray then that thy indwelling in us might be made clear by the overcoming of the indwelling sin, that we may fear thee, that we may love thee, that we may believe in thee, we may follow thee, oh, that we might prize thee above all other and cleave to thee alone and obey thee by thine own enabling. Oh, set a watch before our mouths. We've read, Lord, the exhortation of thy word tonight. Keep thy mouth from evil, thy lips that they speak no guile. Lord, we cannot do it. Oh, we pray thou'st keep us. Forgive the sins of our minds, the sins of our lips, the sins of our feet, every member of our body. Forgive, we pray. Lord, there is sin in not saying what we ought to say. Sometimes there is sin in silence as well as sin in speaking. O Lord, let us not be silent when we should speak. Let us not speak what we ought not to. But O Lord, we come short. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? We pray tonight we may have something of that answer that the apostle had. I thank God through Christ Jesus. Wherefore with my mind I serve the law of God, with my flesh the law of sin. Oh, may there be less of that flesh, less of that sin. O Lord, and bring us to that place that where there'll be none of it. Lord, we cannot comprehend it. But this we know. They are completely blessed, have done with sin and toil and care, and with their Saviour rest. Lead us that way, Lord, where we shall join them one day. We shall stand and bow before thee there and join in that blessedly united church of the redeemed in heaven and crown thee Lord of all. O Lord, O undeceive us from all our deceit. Confirm us in all thine own truth. Fulfill thy promise, he shall confirm you to the end. Lord, bless seekers tonight. Oh, we do pray for the seekers tonight. They may be finders tonight. Those who seek Christ, Lord, help them even now to seek him, to seek thee, to plead that thou wouldst give thy spirit, that through the foolishness of preaching, they may find Christ to the joy and the rejoicing of their heart. Lord, grant us that faith that has an expectation. Lord, save us from everything notional. Save us, Lord, from the faith of the flesh. By that we can say everything correctly. But Lord, we don't mean it. We don't believe it. Oh, give us faith in the heart. Lord, with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Give more faith, more solid faith, more confidence in thee. It's thy gift, Lord. Thou knowest we cannot produce it. Thou hast offended with everything we produce, and rightly so. But Lord, thou art not offended with the work of thy Son. Oh, give us that work by thy Spirit. We may believe, we may repent, we may love with the faith and the repentance and the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. For him hath God exalted to give repentance and for forgiveness of sins. Bless this people. Bless them indeed. Bless them to know thee, Lord. And Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent, bless them, Lord, with thy powerful influence in their hearts. Bless them with communion with thee. To talk with thee, Lord, in reverence. Oh, in the night watches, as they are favoured by thy Spirit with that drawing nigh, commune with Jesus as their friend. Every moment be receiving strength, yet be always weak. Bless the church members and each one, Lord, with growth in grace. Add unto the church such as should be saved. Unite the church closer and closer. That can only be as we each decrease, as thou dost increase. Bless the deacons. Bless their labours. Hear their prayers and those of the brethren and the sisters. Lord, oh, favour them to realise the good hand of the Lord is upon them and the Spirit is moving among them. We thank thee for what thou hast done. We thank thee for the safe deliverance of another child. Bringing their dear friends safely through and sparing life and giving life. We pray thy rich blessing upon the little family. Lord, may the dear child have been born. With thy purpose she may be born again. Watch over her and keep her, bless her, and her parents help them, Lord, in this new path. Much grace is needed, for thou art the God of all grace. Grant safe deliverance of other children expected, subject to thy holy will. Oh, we pray thy blessing in that time, thy presence, thy help, thy safe deliverance again. Lord, as we think of these children being born into this world, we plead, have mercy upon our children. Lord, help them, protect them, preserve them. Lord, what an evil time Moses was born into. Every man child was born with a death sentence. And so it is today. So it has ever been since Adam fell. But Lord, that is preserve him in that ark of bulrushes. Amongst the bulrushes. And Lord, thou didst raise him up to be thy servant and didst lead him safely through all the trials, through all the trouble. And thou didst take him to thyself. Oh, may Moses' portion be ours. From the womb to the grave, preserved in Jesus. Have mercy on our land. Have pity on Britain. In wrath, remember mercy. Lord, restrain the wickedness. Remove evil laws. Prevent the evil designs of the wicked. Overrule those in authority that our liberties may be lengthened to us. And we may live quiet and peaceable lives in godliness and honesty. And should persecution increase, give thy people grace to bear it. And Lord, should preachers be cast into prison, Give them the grace at midnight to sing praises and pray unto God, as Paul and Silas did at Philippi. Deliver this land, we pray. Have pity on us. For Jesus Christ's sake, amen.
Hymn 983. Spirit of truth, come down, reveal the things of God. O make to us salvation known, and witness with the blood. Hymn 983.
In dependence upon the Lord, I venture to direct you this evening to the psalm we read, number 34. Psalm 34, verses 3-6. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The true mark of the blessing of God is that enabling he gives with it to give the glory to him. 10 lepers were cleansed. Only one of them returned to give glory to God. Jesus himself said, were there not 10 cleansed, where are the 9? There are not any returned to give glory to God but this Samaritan. David, by the grace of God, is enabled to give the glory to God and calls upon the Lord's people to join with him in it. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. David realized how man, including himself, gives so little glory to God. My dear friend, examine yourself. And I speak to myself as much as to you. What is there in our life which magnifies the Lord? Does it sometimes look as though there isn't a Lord? Does it sometimes seem as though you've no soul to save? Does it sometimes seem as though God isn't the giver of every good and perfect gift? We have that lament in the book of Job, don't we? How little a portion is heard of him. We might magnify ourselves. How inclined we are to do that. We might magnify someone else. Say what a wonderful person they are. But you know, Isaiah 9 says that only one man shall have the name Wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. How did David come to this place? He tells us, doesn't he? At the head of the psalm, we're also told that this was written when he changed his behavior before Abimelech, who drove him away. And he departed. David had recently walked a path in which God, his God, humbled him to the very utmost. We read he let out his spittle so it ran down his beard, and acted as though he was a madman to get Abimelech to drive him away. He said, what need have I of a madman? Oh, my dear friend, the Lord knows how to humble us. Have you proved it? He alone can do it. But like everything else he does it well. He does it thoroughly. There's no feigned humility that God is the worker of. He really humbles. We are the circumcision, says the apostle, which worship God in the Spirit, who rejoice in Christ Jesus, who have no confidence in the flesh. What is the reason why God should be magnified? Firstly, it is his rightful prerogative. It is the honor that is due unto him. For he is God. He is Lord over all. But especially that is so, and of course there is that in which God may be glorified in all his works. But what David is speaking of here is the work of God in which he is most glorified. God in the person of his Son has all his mighty works outdone. But there's another reason why God is to be magnified, and it's this: that sinners, through the testimony of others, might by the power of the Holy Spirit come to know that God who has delivered others. That may be in the case of a person who's completely ignorant of the Lord, but who is one of the elect. The woman of the well of Samaria went back to her friends in the city and she magnified the Lord. She said, come see a man that told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? You see, the Lord had so revealed himself to her, she couldn't keep quiet about it. And that, my dear friend, is how it is. Jesus departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon and went into an house and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid. He could not be hid. No. Why not? Because he had a work to do. He had a sinner to save, that woman of Canaan. He had devils that he was to cast out of that woman's daughter. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on that ass's colt, and the people cast their garments and the palm tree leaves down on the road before him and cried out, Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord, the Pharisees bade the people be quiet. But he said, if these should hold their peace, the very stones should cry out. What he meant was this. You cannot stop the work of the blessed Spirit. That's what he's saying to the scribes and the Pharisees. This is not something which you could create, nor is it something which you can stop. It isn't anything of the creature in this. If you could stop the creatures, the stones would cry out. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. You see, it is when the Lord is magnified, that is, when he sets himself forth And sometimes it is through the testimony of his people. When he sets himself forth as he is, when he reveals himself as he is, the great God, great in power, great in mercy, great in love, great in compassion, great in faithfulness. It is that greatness that draws sinners to him. What do we read concerning that solemn word of reproof concerning the Israelites in the wilderness? They limited the Holy One of Israel. Have you come in here tonight, my dear friend, and you felt to be too lost a sinner for the Lord even to save? Now listen to David. Look at David. Look how lost a sinner he was. Was he too lost for the Lord to save? And consider those other instances in just that man's life, David's life. The situations the Lord delivered him from in his mercy and in his love and in his compassion. The truth is this, my dear friend. There is no sinner who is too great a sinner for the Lord to save. What we need is to be made, as the text goes on to speak of, poor enough, that we might know his salvation. He says all manner of sin and of blasphemy should be forgiven unto men. Of his Son, the Spirit says, this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood, wherefore he is able to save unto the uttermost all that come unto God by him. Perhaps you're in a particular way, in a particular manner, you are where David was. So the wicked man says, have I need of a madman? You feel even today to be convinced that you've acted like a madman. David says, magnify the Lord with me. He saves madmen. Satan's blind slaves, he saves them. Sinners who have sinned against light and knowledge. You see, David here, he didn't do this when he was in unregeneracy. He did it after he was called by grace. He did it after having received so many mercies from the Lord. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. And let us exalt his name together. In Isaiah 54, he says, they shall know my name. They shall know my name. They shall know in that day that it is I that does speak. Behold, it is I. This name of the Lord. That revelation of God in the person of his dear Son. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost revealed to sinners through his dear Son. God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. No man hath seen God at any time. The only begotten Son which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. That's what David means when he says, let us exalt his name together. Let us exalt his name together. That wonderful name. Peter and John said to those who asked him how they had done that miracle, that lame man who had been lame from his birth now leapt, danced in the temple. The name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This man standeth before you whole. That's what the name of the Lord does. That's the name of the Lord, a complete salvation for completely undone, ruined sinners. The Lord doesn't half do things. That man who had never walked, he doesn't have to be held up by Peter and John. He doesn't have to take their arm. No, he's made whole in that name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let us exalt his name together. Give the glory to his name, the honor to his name, a credit to him that which truly belongs to him. Let us exalt his name. You see, by the grace of God, David, like Peter and John in the temple, they took no glory to themselves at all. Now, sometimes we are inclined to do it, but it's not grace. It's not grace. This is then in David the work of the blessed Spirit of God. When a person comes and tells what the Lord has done for their soul, when they are under the influence of the Spirit in doing so, they do not say, the Lord saved me because I prayed so well. No, because they didn't. They didn't. Ah, my dear friend, it is a great wonder, and it's part of the glory that is due to this name, it's part of this name, that such poor prayers get such rich answers, such sin-stained prayers. You see, the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord, is that success to every prayer. If your prayer depended on your name, you would never get an answer, because your name would never be good enough. Jesus said, didn't he, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Whose name do you think David could ask when he's there? Got into that place by his own wanderings, his own backslidings. Do you think in calling upon God, he could say anything about how good he had been? No. It's just like Jonah in the belly of the fish. When my soul fainted in me, I remember the Lord, that name, the Lord, and my prayer came in unto him, even into his holy temple. If ye shall ask anything in my name, said the Lord, I will do it. Oh, may the Lord bless this word to us tonight. To his glory and to our soul's good, that we shall be those that seem to be where Jonah was, their soul fainted in them. They may, through the word of the Lord here by David, remember the Lord. Remember that he doesn't save good people. Remember that he doesn't save because of anything the sinner has done. Remember he doesn't deny salvation because of all the wickedness the sinner has done. But he himself calls that one to look unto him from the ends of the earth and be saved. Let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. If you come into the house of God tonight with fears, what is the greatest thing you fear? You say, myself. You know, somebody said to me recently about a certain man who opposed me. Sympathy with me in it. I said, I don't fear that man. I fear this man, myself. Oh, that man can't condemn me, but my sins condemn me. But I trust the Lord has forgiven my sins. Do you fear yourself tonight, sinner? Oh, David must have feared himself. This must have been his greatest fear, as he lay there in that land where he was. It wasn't in Israel, was it? That foreign land, wandering. He delivered me from all my fears. He feared he was going to be destroyed. Do you fear that? Destroyed by God. How justly he destroys the wicked. And how can a child of God, until the Lord deliver them, how can they consider themselves to be in a different place, in a different condition from those whom the Lord has destroyed or will destroy? What an awful fear that is, to fear you're going to be destroyed by the Lord and know you deserve it. This is the place that Elihu preached of to Job, wasn't it? Deliver him from going down into the pit. That's where he thought he was going. That was his fear. But the messenger, the interpreter, came with this wonderful message from heaven. Deliver him from going down into the pit. I have found a ransom. Delivered me from all my fears. What reproach? You see, David had already brought some reproach on the Lord. And he often did. But what an awful thing it would have been if David died in a situation in which he was bringing reproach on the Lord's name. He didn't, did he? There were times in his life, and where is the child of God that can say that in their life they've never brought reproach on the Lord's name? I think of the psalmist. He said, Lord, recover me. No, spare me, he says. Lord, spare me that I may recover strength before I go hence and be no more. You see, even when we're in a lukewarm, dead state of soul, if the Lord gives us to have any fear of him and gives us to have any desire, firstly, of course, for our own soul's good, we shall pray, Lord, don't let me die like this. The Apostle Paul, he said, I keep under my body, lest after preaching to others, I myself might prove to be a castaway. The fear then of bringing reproach on the Lord's name. I sought the Lord. The Lord had sought him. None seek the Lord but whom the Lord first seeks. I sought the Lord. David, why didn't you do that? Before you got into that place, why didn't you? Jonah, why didn't you pray to the Lord before you got onto that ship down to Tarshish? Seeking the Lord is all of him, my dear friend. It was a dreadfully painful path for Jonah. And God is not the author of sin. Let no one say it doesn't matter if I disobey God, because Jonah disobeyed God and he got out of it. He was delivered out of it, my dear friend. No. Nevertheless, what does Paul say in Romans 8? We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. I sought the Lord. In this that I'm mentioning here, it comes to me like this. Perhaps there is one here tonight, and you fear it's too late to seek the Lord. It cannot be why you're out of hell. Was it too late when the thieves said to the Lord, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom? No. I sought the Lord. The Lord sought him. There's many ways in which the Lord seeks his people. This is one of the ways we're engaged in tonight. How often a person has come into the house of God, not seeking the Lord, but the Lord has blessed his word, either through the reading of the word, the singing of the truth, or the preaching of the gospel, or the prayer that the Lord's servants or the brethren pray unto him in the Lord's house, and the Lord causes them to seek him. He shows that even in that way, he was seeking them. In the affliction he lays upon them, he seeks them. The proof of it is they are made seekers of him. I sought the Lord. What does this word mean? I sought the Lord. I searched for him. I asked for him. I wanted to find him. You see, this is real prayer. Real prayer is seeking the Lord. Because real prayer is a request unto the Almighty God of heaven that in his mercy and in his love and in his compassion he would deliver me. And how can he except he himself come and appear for me? I sought the Lord. Well, David evidently fell. He didn't have the Lord. You don't seek someone that is feelingly with you, do you? And how often the Lord's people are, indeed it is daily so, is it not? I know there are some favoured seasons where the Lord blesses us with a felt sense of his presence, but it seems to be so often so short-lived, and he is seemingly gone. But if he really was with us, he hasn't completely left us. He's left his truth behind in us. And the effect of that truth he leaves behind in us is we can't do without him. You see, there's the reality of having him with us. And the situation we're in brings home to us the reality of having him with us. Oh, my dear friend, you can talk wondrous things about the Lord and know nothing of him, but let him bring you down into real trouble. Oh, then you need him as a reality. May it not be with any of us that we waste our life away thinking we have the Lord with us and then find when we come to die, the last great trial, we haven't. I sought the Lord, and he heard me. You see, I often say, it isn't prayers, it's answers. It's answers. Where there is real Holy Ghost-indicted prayer, in the Lord's time there will be answers. It's not enough for you and me to go through life saying, well, I've prayed about this, I've prayed about that, I've prayed for the forgiveness of my sins, I've prayed for the salvation of my soul. You may have to wait long. But everyone who asketh, receiveth. And he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. And you see, when the Lord hears us, David, by this means, of course, that the Lord made known to me here, he heard me. It is clear that he's heard us. When he speaks, oh, how clear he's heard us. When he puts forth his arm of deliverance, no one else could deliver. This is what we want, my dear friends. We don't want things that men can do, do we? We want things that only God can do. We want the soft heart that only God can produce. We want the clean conscience that loves God that only he can produce. We want that blessed remission that only he can give. We want the sight of Christ that only he can give. And in our providences, we want to see his hand in such a way as we can't possibly mistake it. Haven't we known it, some of us? When the Lord turned again our captivity, we were like them that dream. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord hath done great things for them. The Lord hath done great things for us, whereof we are glad. He heard me and delivered me and delivered me. Oh, the mighty arm of the Lord, the delivering arm. Paul says of that experience he had, when he despaired of life, having the sentence of death in himself, and David was in a similar place here. Have you been there? If you have, and you have sought the Lord, and he has heard you, and he has delivered you, Have you come and exalted the Lord before the people? Have you told anyone of it? The Lord, loose your tongue to give glory to him. Well, Paul says, I wouldn't have you ignorant, brethren, of this trouble that came on us. He didn't want the sympathy of the people. Oh, Paul, what a path you walked in. Paul didn't want that. He said, brethren, I wouldn't have you ignorant. Why? My God delivered me, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust, he will yet deliver us. Delivered is done. He brought me up out of an horrible pit and out of the miry clay. Psalm 40, another psalm of David. And set my feet upon a rock and establish my goings. You see, he has only to speak to us and we're delivered. Or whatever it is we're held in, whatever trouble we're held in, whatever enemy is sore vexing us, all the deliverance from our guilt when he gives a believing view of Christ crucified. Oh, the deliverance from our fears when he says, fear not. And the deliverance from this place David was in, where God commanded Abimelech to send David away. Have you seen the Lord deal with men like that? He can do it, my dear friend. Listen to Daniel in his testimony. When the king went to him that morning, the king couldn't sleep, could he? Oh, Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Oh, king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths. You know, my dear friend, we do need this. In the day in which we live, it seems to me as though the standard is dropping and dropping and dropping. And it's going to be a solemn thing, my dear friend, if you come to die and you haven't got something good to die on. But before that, it's a solemn thing to live when you haven't got something good to live upon. When all you've got to live upon is, well, I keep praying. All you've got to live upon is your chapel going, this and that and the other. Open thy mouth wide, the Lord saith, and I will fill it. Well, we know it's all of the Lord. I have no thought, my dear friend, that anything I say in this way will have any gracious effect upon anyone without the power of the Spirit, but suffer the word of exhortation. They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. From speaking of himself, David is now led of the Spirit to speak of all the Lord's people. Now this is another thing that is a mark of the Lord's true blessing. No one that has the Lord's true blessing sets themselves apart from the rest of the church. They don't say they've got a better experience than the rest of the church of God. They haven't got a different experience from the rest of the Church of God. Indeed, isn't this how the Lord leads his people into the blessings that the Lord's people have had previous? When the Lord met Jacob at Bethel that night, he spoke of his father Abraham and his father Isaac. And how often in our experience the Lord leads us so that we come into companionship with the Lord's people that have gone before. They looked unto him and were lightened. This is salvation, isn't it? This is what David is speaking of here. I sought the Lord, they looked unto him. They had nowhere else to look, but they had the Spirit setting before them the Lord. He tells them to look unto him. That's why they looked unto him. If I be lifted up from the earth, says the Lord, will draw all men unto me. How could they look unto him except he be lifted up? Think of those serpent-bitten Israelites. There wasn't anything to look to, was there? Till the brazen serpent was lifted up. And there isn't anything to look to until Christ is lifted up. And the Holy Spirit does it. He doesn't need men like me to lift up Christ. He is sometimes pleased to use men like me. And it's a wonder, my dear friend, to me that he uses this poor sinner sometimes to the lifting up of the Son of Man. But he doesn't need me. The Holy Spirit is able to do it without any instrument if it please him. He uses the word of God. Now, my dear friend, have you ever looked unto him? Looked unto him. That is, your whole hope is fixed upon him. Your only hope is fixed upon him. That's what it means when it says they looked unto him. That's what it means. It is as he is set forth before us, as he sets himself forth before us, as the God who is merciful, the God who is gracious, the God who is able to save to the uttermost and willing. All that the Father giveth me, he says, shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. To look unto him is to look out of self. To look unto him is to look away from every creature. They looked unto him and were lightened. Before we consider what the margin, the original Hebrew words here is, let us consider the translation that we have. Were lightened. They looked unto him in their darkness. They looked from a dark place. Everything around them looked dark. My dear friend, in the day in which we live, it's especially so. But it has been every day since the fall of man. What a dark world this has been. And if you look within, is the light there? Not when you see what a sinner you are. What a dark place is your heart. You look at your own works. Is the light there? No. You can see nothing but darkness. All our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We are all as an unclean thing. They looked unto him and were lightened. They looked towards the light. They cried for the light. They cried to the Lord as the psalm of the church does in the psalm. O thou that dwellest between the cherubims, shine forth. They looked unto him. You say, I can't see his light. Look unto him and ask for him to show you his light. Lord, open thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Reveal thyself, Lord, to me. And you see, that prayer for him to reveal himself to you, it is always in connection with what you are feeling within and what is happening all around you. And when you feel within the dark, you see, the word actually speaks of it, doesn't it? That day when the Lord brought darkness over the land of Egypt, one of the plagues, we read it was a darkness that could be felt. But every Israelite had light in his dwelling. Not because the Israelites weren't sinners. They were. The Lord was with them. They looked unto him and were lightened. Well, the original rendering is they flowed unto him. They looked unto him and were lightened. You say, that seems to be the very opposite to what I do. I don't flow unto him. I seem to go in the opposite direction. But if the Holy Spirit give you to see, my dear friend, firstly, your great need, your helpless condition, that there is none but the Lord can save you. And you need saving desperately. You need saving now. And then the Holy Spirit causes you to look unto him. In that very look, there's a flowing unto him. It's a work of the Spirit. Jesus draws the chosen race. You say, I can't feel that drawing. Well, my dear friend, let me tell you from the Word of God, Jesus does the drawing. I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw men unto him. That's how sinners flow unto him. The drawing is his. You say, oh, I can't get near him. Look unto him and ask him to draw you near. Look unto him and ask him to give you the Spirit as your guide, your counselor. He shall guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of himself. He shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. And their faces were not ashamed. What a wonderful thing this is. David speaks of a deliverance in a situation in which his face was justly most ashamed. Here is the man that was anointed as Samuel. Arise, anoint him, this is he. This is the man that had, with the Lord's help and the Lord's trust, trusting in the Lord, he had overcome the lion and the bear and Goliath. Now where is he? And now where are you? And now where am I? But however much there is that you and I have to be ashamed of, the Scripture tells us that if we are enabled to look unto him, we shall be lightened and our faces shall not be ashamed. Why? Because the one we look unto
is the one who bore the shame, the spitting, who despised the shame, who endured the cross and is set down at the right hand of God. Sinner, the one that the Holy Spirit bids you look unto, that you might be lightened. And oh, what a lightening this is. The one who took the shame of the church, the shame of all their adultery, the shame of all their theft, the shame of all their unbelief, all their covetousness, the shame of all their idolatry, the shame of all their ungodliness. And he bore it himself, made sin for them who knew no sin, that they might be made the righteousness of God in him. Well, that is the foundation truth of what David says here, and they were not ashamed. But then experimentally, what does this mean, they were not ashamed? How ashamed David would have been if he had looked to the Lord, if he had called upon him, and the Lord hadn't answered. How ashamed he would have been. But the Lord didn't let him suffer that shame. And nor will he let you suffer that shame. If he enables you to seek him, to call upon him, to look unto him, he says, they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Just as the Saviour bore all the shame and he removed that shame forever and ever by bearing it even to the grave, so he will not let his people suffer the shame of a prayer that is not answered. He'll not let them suffer the shame of seeking him and not find him. This poor man cried. What a poor man he was. What a poor man he was, and what a poor man you and I are. What have we? What have we as before God? What have we that is of any worth at all before Almighty God? Nothing. That is how poor we are. Destitute, but David was given to feel it. Oh, the Lord save us from saying we're poor when we don't feel it. You may have to confess your poverty, and part of that poverty will be, oh, what my wretched soul still cleaves to of myself. This poor man. Oh, it's only poor men that really cry. It's only when pockets are emptied and carnal hopes past. It's only when they have nothing to pay. Believe the Lord has given me to desire this evening as I come to a close to emphasize this poverty. Paul speaks of it when he says as having nothing. Perhaps there's one here tonight and you say, I haven't even got a prayer. I haven't even got a prayer. In your view of it, you haven't. That is, you don't feel that you can pray like some people pray. Perhaps you hear the minister pray, the brethren pray, and perhaps the minister, perhaps the deacon, Perhaps the man who speaks in prayer in the prayer meeting. You don't know how that man felt before he stood up to pray. He felt he didn't have a prayer. And perhaps when he sat down, he didn't feel he prayed well. This poor man, I haven't a good deed to mention. I haven't faith. I haven't repentance. I haven't godliness. I haven't grace. I haven't righteousness. I haven't got godly sorrow. All I have got is sin. This poor man cried. Well, his cry then wasn't of himself, was it? We know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit helpeth our infirmities. Now, this doesn't seem a very good prayer, does it? With groanings, which cannot be uttered. Oh, how often some of us have proved the Lord hears the groaning of the prisoner. He hears the sigh of the needy. This poor man cried. Oh, the urgency, the simplicity. When a person cries, naturally if they cry, that is, they call for somebody to help them. Perhaps they've fallen. We don't get a complicated speech from them, do we? Lord, help me, is this cry. Lord, save me. The thief's cry. Lord, remember me. Lord, help me. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him. The Lord heard him. He heard the poor man. He doesn't need something in his people to cause him to attend to them. Everything that is needed to cause him to attend to you, sinner here tonight at your cry, is within himself. Oh, the love of God. That's enough to move God to hear you. When that love has spared not his own son, when that son, though he was rich, yet for your sakes became poor, that ye through his poverty might be made rich. He hears the poor. He hears them in the name of Christ. Ah, you say, I feel my prayers are wrong. But if they're prayed in the name of Christ, they don't get to God wrong. You say my prayers are hard-hearted. What a wrong thing that is. Where that is indicted of the Spirit, it is accepted in Christ's name. Is it accepted in Christ's name? Is there someone here tonight? Don't know why I'm having to speak like I am tonight, except I know it's the truth. And that's what the Lord will have me speak. Is there someone here tonight and you're waiting till you feel you're a proper praying person? We'll never become one. Try what the prayers of a lost sinner will do. Try what hard-hearted, feelingly faithless prayers will do. Try what the prayer of a destitute one will do. I'll tell you what it will do. It'll move. The Lord God of Sabaoth. Oh, how he will be glorified in hearing these prayers of this poor man. For when they are heard, oh, it is so clearly manifest that it's all of his grace. It's all of his mercy. It's all of his compassion. And saved him out of all his troubles. Go back to that point I mentioned just now. You want to get out of some of your troubles before you call upon him. You want to get out of the trouble of being lifeless. You want to get out of the trouble of being hard. You want to be out of the trouble of being so wrong. No. There's only one way out of it. Crying in those troubles. Because he's able to save you out of all of them. Christ went to the end of the law for righteousness' sake. He made his grave with the wicked. He said, I will destroy death. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. O death, I will be thy destruction. And saved him out of all his troubles. The word of salvation. Oh, if he assure you he is your God, he saves you out of all your troubles. If he declares, sinner, thy sins are forgiven, you're saved out of all your troubles. If he say to you, thou art all fair, my love, there is no spot in thee, you're saved out of all your troubles. David, when he says all his troubles, he means his temporal troubles, but more than that, his soul troubles. Am I speaking to someone here tonight, and you can't deny that the Lord has saved you out of temporal troubles? But you can't say what David says here. Because being saved out of all your temporal troubles is not being saved out of all of them. Out of the trouble of my lost condition, the trouble of my guilt, the trouble of my unrighteousness, the trouble of being a hell-deserving sinner and bound there, deliver him from going down into the pit. I found a ransom. Someone might say, well, David wasn't yet delivered out of all his trouble. No. But what he means here is this. All the trouble he was in then, the Lord saved him out of it. And by doing that, he assured him that he was saved in the Lord with an everlasting salvation. Although he had troubles yet to wade through, did Jesus once upon me shine? Then Jesus is forever mine. If the Lord pardon your sin, save your soul, he's not going to afterwards condemn you to an eternity in hell. Cannot. He's not going to forsake you when you come down to your end. But he'll lead you in this path. We are brought again, as David's life proves, to cry again unto him. For the Lord to hear him again and save him again. Saved him out of all his trouble. That fullness which is in Christ. David, all your folly, you're saved from it by the wisdom of Christ. All your sin, you're saved from it by the blood and righteousness of Christ. All your waywardness, David, you're saved from it by the steadfastness of Christ. All your falls into temptation, David, you're saved. For my son, he hath bruised Satan's head. These accusers, they are just accusers. But I am the God of justice and mercy. Justice dealt with the matter of your sins, David, when justice slew the dear Lord Jesus Christ and saved me out of all my troubles, out of the trouble of your unbelief, the trouble of your lack of love, in fact, your enmity. Out of all. Oh, what a good God he is. Unspeakably good. Amen.
God willing, Mr. John Rosier will preach next Lord's Day, and Mr. Hadley on Tuesday evening, when a collection will be taken for the Trinitarian Bible Society. And of course, we have a prayer meeting at 9 o'clock on next Lord's Day morning for the nation. Let us close with hymn 1075. Thou hidden love of God, whose height, whose depth unfathomed no man knows, I see from far thy beauteous light, and inly sigh for thy repose. My heart is pained, nor can it be at rest, till I find rest in thee. Hymn 1075.
Do bless thy word. Grant us truly thankful hearts for it. Oh, we thank thee we're in. Any of us can enter into it. We pray thou hast blessed to those who cannot. Thou hast lead them into it. And lead us further into it. Oh, we thank thee that thou art a prayer-hearing, a prayer-answering God. Give us more prayer. Forgive all amiss. Sin is mixed with all we do. Watch over and keep us. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us. Amen.